Good morning, all. How's everybody doing this morning? I believe some of you. Others are great. Yeah. There we go. It's good to see so many beautiful faces out there today. Some friends and family and old high school buddies and everything around. So it's good to see everybody. And to everybody out there on our virtual campus, we are glad you joined us this morning. Getting ready and enjoyed that worship service, and we thank the worship team. It was a good way to start the service today. And here we go. Now, before I get started, Pastor, I need you to come up here. I do. I didn't do this last night. I saved it for today because I wanted more people to witness that this moment in time, this epic thing. And you can stay down there because I don't want you tripping. But because you shared your peanut butter cups last week, it is coming back to you in a form of a shared peanut butter cup from your youth pastor today. So thank you for sharing last week. My son appreciated it. Now, I want to start this service with a bit. Oh, well, yeah. We do practice what we preach. You're right. So on that note, I want to start with another a biblical reminder today. I think it's important to kick it off with the Bible. And it comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Amen? Isn't that a great biblical truth? It really is. Well, this week, right here at MCC, and Marcia can attest, she was a witness to it, we had a sister, an individual, a sister in Christ, who attempted to share the gospel and the truth and sharpen another young lady in our truth with the message that Dave gave last week about sharing. She wanted to share the message of, no matter what, I will share. Now, the thing is that our lady, our sister in Christ, realized as she started talking to this other young lady was that she hadn't listened to Pastor David's sermon. And we don't know why, but she hadn't listened to his message yet. So we took a picture just so you guys could see what goes on here during the week. So our sister Sue was trying to teach Belle about sharing, and Belle was having no part of it, would not give up her ball, would she, Marcia? So we do have a lot of fun during the week, and it's just further proof that things here at MCC have really gone to the dogs. But this week, we get to continue this incredible series, No Matter What. And of course, No Matter What, I Will Serve is the topic today. And I want to start with a story that we call Needing a Push. So a man and his wife were awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning by a loud pounding on the back door. The man gets up and goes to the door where a drunken stranger standing in the pouring rain is asking for a push. Not a chance, says the husband. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I was sound asleep, and it's raining. And he slams the door and returns to the bed. When he gets up there, his wife, of course, asks, who was that? And he said, just some drunk guy asking for a push. And she said, did you help him? He said, no, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's pouring rain. I don't know him. I didn't help him. His wife said, don't you remember about 3 months ago when we broke down and those two guys helped us? And then she goes, don't you remember just last week the pastor was talking about serving others? I think you should get up, go help him, and you should be ashamed of yourself. So the man, being an obedient husband, got dressed and goes out into the pouring rain. And when he gets out there, he says, hello, are you still there? And the voice comes back and says, yes. Well, do you still need a push? He says, yes, please. But it's still pitch dark, there's not a lot of light, you can't see. He says, well, where are you? And the drunk guy says, over here, on your swing. Was I wrong on that one, Marcia? She's shaking her head. I think that's what God is doing during this COVID-19 time. He's giving us a push. He's trying to keep us going. He knows what he's doing, and he has known that this was coming for a long time, that this time period was coming. And And he's counting on us, and he's trying to show each of us something. And it's probably different for each of us. It may be spending more time with family during this time. It may be spending more time with him during this COVID time. It may mean reaching out to our neighbors or helping out differently at church or just being in service in general to our community. That's what this is all about. He's just giving us a little push. So today, as we begin the service, I want to try something new. And we were able to get this fixed and get the right PowerPoint to Julie. Yay! And so as I read the scriptures today, up on the screen, you will see the words. And every now and then, there's going to be a couple of words highlighted in yellow. And when you see those, I want you to read them along with me. So if it says Muhammad Christian Church is a great place to worship, and the next line says, and it's in yellow, says, and our pastors are the best. Well, you've got to read that. And you got to say it with meaning, right, Pastor? So are you guys ready? You ready to try this today? If nothing else, this is just my attempt to make sure you're keeping alert. So here we go. Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what does your Lord, your God, require of you? He requires only that you fear your God, fear the Lord your God, and live in a way that pleases him, and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. First off, good job. Good job. Well, it's pretty clear here that God is telling us, that the Bible is telling us, that we're expected to serve God. We are expected to do so. Well, there you go. I guess that's the end of the sermon right there. We can just quit. God's saying, here endeth the lesson. I'm requiring you to serve me. Please, when you worship me, serve me. Except I don't think that's all God's trying to tell us today. I really don't. There are many ways I could have taken today's sermon, and trust me, over the last 2 weeks, I have looked at most, if not all of them. I could have done a sermon on God creating us in his image and serving like him. I could have given you 10, yes, 10, different ways in which you should serve God. I could have done a message about serving God with your talents, or serving God and serving at the church. And there's always the wonderful message about serving God with joy. Or as in Romans 12:11 tells us, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. The list goes on of how we could have taken today's sermon. But once I finally, let's just be honest, surrendered to his leading, I landed on what he wanted me to focus on here today. And he wanted to lay this on someone's heart today, or maybe multiple people's hearts today. So today we're going to focus on, no matter what, I will serve others. Others. I will serve others. You know the really cool thing about this series? And Pastor and I have talked about this, but it's how God put it together. God put this series together back in, what was it, October when we started doing this? And we just didn't randomly decide what goes where, or pastor saying, I want to talk about following. Well, I want to talk about serving. That's not how it worked out. It was God led us down a path, and he put them in a particular order. And these no matter what phrases, the cool thing about them, if you've caught on, is they're building on each other each week. They're building on each other, growing, trying to make us more complete in our relationship with Christ. And it is so cool to see it in action. So, for instance, when you say, no matter what, I will hope, which was our first message in this series, it's because of the hope of eternal life that God gives anyone who believes. The hope that this world, is not all there is. And that one day we will be in a place where we'll get to worship with him. We'll get to worship him directly. There will be no more sorrow. No pain, no politics, no hurt, no anger, no divisiveness, and no coronavirus. Amen? Because Jesus died on a cross for all, we will one day be in his presence. And that's the foundation. That's why God wanted that message first. That's the foundation of everything else, is we hold on to that hope when we're struggling, when we're hurting, when life doesn't go the way we think it should go. We hold on to that hope. Now, because we have that hope, we also have received the love of God. When Jesus died on a cross for you and me, showing us what real love is. Showing us what real love looks like. He took a death that was rightfully ours so we could be seen as righteous in God's eyes. It's because we have that hope and we receive the ultimate act of love that we can jump in and say, no matter what, I will love also. So God allowed his son to die on a cross so that you could live life, your life out with him, with the hope, rather, of having eternal life. We got the foundation. Jesus chose to sacrifice himself because he loved us. With that kind of love and that kind of hope that we are living for and we can count on, we need to say, no matter what, I will trust you, Lord. You've given me the hope. You've given me the love. I got to trust you, which was our third sermon in the series. And at this point, we're holding up hope. We're leading a life of love. We've now decided to trust God to get us through all this craziness and this life we live. Then we're ready to say, okay, God, you've done all this. I'm trusting you. All right, I'm going to follow you. Where are you going to go? Where are we going? So no matter what, I will follow. So with the love, or with the hope, I mean, the foundation, with the love, with the trust, and the following, all in your heart, you're now ready to share his story. You're ready to share your story, rather, as part of his story. What has God done in your life? He's given you the hope. He's showing you the love. You're trusting him. You're ready to share his story. No matter what, I will share his gospel. So the next step, and it's a progression, is today. No matter what, I will serve. No matter what, I will serve. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, in chapter 5, verse 13, he wrote, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve." Thank you. That was good. Serve one another in love. This scripture is saying we have freedom. Remember, we have freedom because of that hope, our foundation. Because God and Jesus loved us so much, and we have that same love flowing through us, which still blows my mind. That kind of love that God gave us, it's flowing through us. If we've chosen to accept it, it is flowing through us. Because we put our trust in a God who will never let us down, and we follow a Savior who's not going to lead us astray. He will not lead you astray. Oh, he may lead you down a path you don't like, but he's not going to lead you astray. There's a plan for that. Because of all that, we have freedom in the gospel we share. We have freedom in that gospel, which everyone can receive if they just accept Christ as their Savior. But the thing about this gospel is, and the scripture's telling us, we shouldn't use it as an excuse to live a life of sin or to live a life for the flesh. Rather, we should use it to live a life that says, no matter what, I will serve. No matter what, I will serve. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to focus today on serving others. And of course, there is no better example of serving others than Jesus. So we're going to look at two examples of how Jesus served others. And as we look at these, we'll see a playbook. And it's a very simple playbook, actually, as far as understanding. It's a very simple understanding of serving others. And the first example is in the Gospel of John, my favorite gospel, in case any of you were wondering. Gospel of John, and it's in chapter 13. It'll be on the screen, but if you want to turn in your Bibles or find it in your phone, we're going to John chapter 13. But as we're getting ready to read that, I want to tell you that this last couple weeks, as I've studied these verses, God has opened my eyes in a new way to what it looked like and what it meant when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. I've heard this story many times. I've read it many times. We've talked about it in youth group numerous times. But God opened my eyes in a new way, and I hope he does the same for you today. So here we go. John chapter 13, 1 through 17. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave the world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during this ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, he took off his robe, he wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Anybody ever told Jesus no? Peter did it right to his face. Oh, Peter, oh, I love him. Oh. Jesus said back to him, replied back, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well. Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over doesn't need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." It's kind of see Jesus kind of give Judas a little look out of the corner of his eye, right? He knows what's about to happen. For Jesus knew that he would betray him. And this is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again, sat down, and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing?" Jesus, always the teacher, always teaching. He says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. And I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now you know these things. God will bless you for doing them." Is this not an incredible scene? Is this not an incredible picture of serving? We see the way Jesus served others in this moment. And it's such a simple process, a simple model. It's a simple mantra for us to follow. Love, humble, serve. Love, humble, serve. The picture, the perfect picture, rather, of serving is wrapped up in just those three simple words. Love, humble, serve. So let's go to love. And we love everyone. That's what we're supposed to do. Love everyone. Remember what it said in this passage. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved to the very end. Love. And if you remember back to my sermon a few weeks ago on love, when I talked about it, I mentioned agape love and how that is the highest form of love, looking out for your brother, looking out for one another over yourself. Well, once again, in this very verse, that's the type of love Jesus is having for his disciples here. He is unconcerned about himself, and he knows about what's about to happen. It says it right there in the passage. He knew the hour had come to leave this world. He knows what's coming, but he's not concerned about that. He's focused on others, in particular, his disciples. Love. Remember what John 15:13 says. There is no than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's the type of love we are to have. That's the type of love Jesus has for his disciples and for all of us. Now, I could sit here and go a lot deeper into love, but since I just did it a few weeks ago, I don't want to expound on it again. But if you need a refresher course, or maybe you didn't get a chance to hear it, I encourage you to go to our webpage and check out that message or any other of the messages you've missed in this series. But understand, Jesus loved his disciples in this moment. He has loved them so much, and he has called every one of us to love everyone. John, the author, wants us to understand that this moment in time, this moment of servanthood by Jesus starts. It all started because he felt the love of God, the agape love for his disciples. So from love, we go to humble. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Tryon Edwards, who's a theologian, said, "True humility is not an abject, groveling, self-despising spirit. It is but a right estimate of ourselves as God sees us."
Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he'd come from God and would return to God, as the scripture says. And in that moment, Jesus got up from the table. He put on his robe, or took off his robe, rather, put on the towel around his waist, took a basin, poured water into it, and then he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. Jesus humbled himself. He showed his humility as he took the position of a servant to his disciples. He undressed and grabbed a towel of water, standing there, no robe on, standing there with just a towel around his waist. And what does he have to do to wash his disciples' feet? He's got to get down. He's got to kneel. Put himself in even a more humble position to his disciples. Showing his amazing, amazing humility. Now, understand this. Jesus doesn't grovel in front of his disciples. Does he think that he's no good or not worthy. That's not what's happening here. We're not talking about that kind of humility. That's the world's humility. That's what they're telling you to try to do. That's not what God's asking us to do here. Jesus knows who he is, and he knows what God expects of him. So he's acting accordingly. What does being humble even look like for a Christian? Or what should our humility look like? You don't have to go any further than into the scriptures. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start in verses 3 and 4. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for our own interests, but take an interest in others too. Man, Christian humility is when you are free from pride and arrogance. You're free of those things. You know that in your flesh you are inadequate, but you also know that you are who you are, rather, in Christ. Remember, we know we have the hope, the love. We're trusting him. We're following him. We're sharing his gospel. We know we have all these things in Christ. And you can be a peacemaker without needing to fight for your personal rights. You can walk humbly in the power of the Holy Spirit, just not in your own strength. Godly humility is being comfortable with who you are in the Lord, and you're therefore putting others first. The picture of humility in the Bible is one of a strong person who just loves others, who puts them first, not someone who's a wimp. Humility is also recognizing that you need God's help, knowing you can't truly succeed in your own strength. Whew. I have needed God's help. Anybody else ever needed God's help? We have to be willing to admit that and then trust and follow him when he gives us that help. It is thanking God for our talents and gifts, whatever they may be, and giving him credit for any accomplishments. It is being comfortable with who you are in Christ, but seeking to build others up, not yourself. It is gratefully walking in God's grace, his love, and his forgiveness. Now, thanks to the cell phone or the iPhone, we tend to live in a selfie world around us. It is a selfie world. We have Instagram saying, take pictures of everything, and you got the selfies going on, and Facebook, and you know, Snapchat, all these things. And there's nothing wrong with those when done in the right context. That's not what I'm saying. But I think if Jesus carried an iPhone, because that's what Jesus would carry, an iPhone, right? But if Jesus had his iPhone, the camera wouldn't be in selfie mode. He would never even think about flipping that camera around to selfie mode. It would always be pointed out. And first and foremost, it would be pointed towards God. God, what do you want me to do? And then he'd let God take that camera and move it around and focus on the people that he would want Jesus to go love on, who he would want him to go share. You see, once that camera's turned around, Jesus has given up control. He's saying, I'm not in control. I'm humbling myself to you, God. I'm letting you lead me. I'm following. I know who I am through you. I don't care what the world thinks. What do you want me to do? What a great example Jesus sets for us. Now, in the book of John we just read, in chapter 13, he also tells his disciples and us that we need to be willing to humble ourselves and serve just like he did. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again. He got up, sat down, and then he asked them, he taught, do you understand what I have done for you? And they kind of look at him. No one says anything, not even Peter this time. But he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. But since I am your Lord and teacher, I want you to wash the feet of others. Do what I have done. Follow my example. And Paul, later in his letter to the church in Philippi, in chapter 2, continuing on where we just let off, he reminds us that the church, which is all of us, needs to have the same mindset as Christ, which of course includes humility. Excuse me. Philippians chapter 2, we go on from in verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Humility. That's the kind of humility we need to have. Follow the example of our Savior Jesus. And from there, we go to serve. Serve all. We got to serve everybody. We got to serve all. I have given you an example to follow. Do. Wow. I've given you an example. Now go do it. Remember, Jesus also said in Mark 9:35, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Man, I love it when Jesus is very crystal clear about what he expects of us. Washing the disciples' feet is not just to tell us to go out and wash each other's feet. It's so we will look and jump into the opportunities to serve. If we want to be a servant of all, we must be ready and willing to jump in and serve any individual in any situation. There was a cartoon many years back that showed a picture of a woman lying in her sick bed, and she was obviously in misery. And in the sink were stacked piles of dirty dishes and a huge basket of clothes that needed to be ironed sat there nearby. And there were two dirty children. They were fighting in one corner, and in the other corner a cat sat licking spilled milk. And in the doorway there was a smiling woman, and the caption of this cartoon just read, well, Florence, and Florence was the lady who was sick, well, Florence, if there's anything I can do for you to help, don't hesitate to let me know. This is a situation where there's a person that seems to want to chip in and serve this sick lady, but she's got blinders on. You know, like the horses have when they're to keep the blinders on so they can stay focused and not get distracted. It's like in a parade route or whatever from a crowd. She's got her blinders on. Now, maybe she just hates washing dishes. Maybe she's uncomfortable around kids. Maybe she's a dog person, not a cat person. Whatever her reason, she's not being a servant to this sick lady. She's almost giving lip service here, and her heart may or may not be in the right place. But what she needs to do, what Christ has asked us to do, is jump in. Jump in like Jesus would do and see the needs. Don't have the blinders on. They may seem small, these needs, but jump in there and get those dishes cleaned. Help get the kids cleaned up a little bit, maybe feed them. Get those clothes ironed for her. You know, just kick the cat. All right, you can clean up the milk if you want and help the cat, or just kick it. I don't care. But I'm a dog person. Can't help it. But get in there and do something, whatever it is. It may seem little. How many people here have been sick, but there's so much to do around the house, you've had to keep doing it because you couldn't even relax and try to feel better because there's so much to do around your house? That's what this lady's probably feeling. I mean, yes, she's feeling sick and miserable, but she's also miserable because she can't do the things she thinks she needs to be doing. Every little thing helps. You have to remember this. We have to remember this. That sometimes the simplest, smallest things we do for someone often have the biggest impact. When we were on the very first mission trip we took down to Centralia with Austin and Jared Neidel and Drew Feaster and Nick Berger and all that whole group of folks and Breezy and all of them, we went to Centralia, and I was at my first house, the house I was helping. This was our very first one, and we were supposed to paint her whole house and scrape the window trim and repaint that and paint her garage. And it was a lot to do. It was a two-story house. It was going to be a lot to do. But we got there, and the kids, and we're all excited. Let's get this done in 2 days. Let's help this lady out. Let's, you know, make her feel good about her home. Let's get it done. Well, we did get it done. It took every bit of the 5 days to make it happen, but we got it done. But the thing of it is, we could have just got the window trim done and she'd have been happy. Because here's what she needed. She was alone. She had a hurt ankle and stuff, and so she couldn't get out. She hadn't even been able to be at church in a while because she wasn't supposed to be on her foot. She just needed people to talk to have a conversation with, to have a relationship with. We ended up taking all of our devotion times at lunch inside so she could be with us. And you could just see the smile grow from each day as we'd pull up and you could see her in the window. She was looking out the window waiting for us to get there. And she almost get a little sad when we left every day. But just the conversations the kids and I had with her meant more than getting that house all prettied up. I mean, she appreciated that, don't get me wrong. But it was those conversations. It was those, she loved talking about Jesus. Oh my God, she just lit up when we did the devotions. Oh, she just did. And that meant so much to her. It was the littlest thing, just a simple conversation that had the biggest impact when we were there that week. I've noticed, Polly pointed out that on Facebook, someone put that they appreciated that someone had paid for their Diet Coke when they were going through the McDonald's drive-thru. Someone had just paid for the person behind them. And she just felt so thankful. She just needed it. She's in a bad mood, having a bad day, and she just felt so thankful for a Diet Coke, a $1 Coke. It's the simplest things that often have the biggest impact when we serve. I guarantee the disciples never forgot this moment. I can guarantee it. When we get to heaven, go ask them, say, well, my pastor said, and they'll tell you all about it. They had never forgot this moment. It wasn't a grand gesture like we think it was. That moment Jesus originally meant for the people in that room. It was just for them in that room. In fact, if it wasn't Jesus doing the foot washing, we wouldn't even know about that moment in time. There will be times where life is just not fair. It's beating you down. It's wearing you out. It's disappointing you. There'll be times you're not having a great day, but we still have to be ready and willing to serve, to trust God that He will be there, and He will give us the strength or the love we need to get through something or to be a service to someone. You see, a servant of God refuses to make excuses. A servant of God refuses to procrastinate or to wait for better opportunities. God's servants never say, well, when I have more time. They just do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 tells us, whoever watches the wind, you will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Folks, if we wait for perfect conditions, we will never, ever get anything done. God expects us to do what we can with what He's given us, wherever and whenever it comes upon us. Doesn't matter. And in this moment, at the Last Supper, Jesus gives an example of what others should look like. Love, humble, serve. Love, humble, serve. Now, I promised two amazing examples of Jesus. So the second amazing example came just a few hours later, or it started rather, just a few hours later in the Garden of Gethsemane. He loved his disciples. He loves us. He loved everyone so much that he humbled himself, starting right there in that garden, when he allowed himself to be arrested and dragged away. He allowed himself further to be questioned, mocked, beaten, whipped, scourged, spit on, cursed at. He allowed a crown of thorns to be placed on his head. And he allowed them to put a cross on his back to carry. And once he got to the top of Golgotha, the hill, they stripped him down again and they nailed him to a cross, where they continued to mock him, make fun of him. And eventually, he took his last breath on that cross. And in that time, one of the most undignified ways to die. So Jesus humbled himself and he allowed all that to be happen, all because he loved us first. And in that moment, we see the ultimate act of servanthood. Jesus died on the cross for you, for me, for his disciples, for everyone, including those who hated and despised him. It's for anyone who would accept him and receive him will receive everlasting life. Doesn't matter who, what, where, what you've done, who you've done it to, what you've called Jesus. He died for you because of love, because he allowed himself, he humbled himself for us, and then he wanted to serve all. Love, humble, serve. That is Christ, and he is our example. If we indeed have that hope that we talked about, that foundation, if we have that, if we really indeed understand the love we've gotten and we are to give back to others, if we trust God the way we should because of the hope and love he's given us, and we have a desire to follow him wherever he goes, and we want to share his message whenever the opportunity presents itself, then we can truly say, no matter what, I will serve. So this whole message today comes down to this. It's a simple takeaway. We are called to love everyone. That's true. We are supposed to humble ourselves. That is true. And we are to serve all. But the final point, the final piece in this mantra that we haven't talked about yet, it's the final step to no matter what, I will serve, is repeat. Love, humble, serve, repeat. Do it again, over and over again. It felt good to help so-and-so this morning. Good. Now you're ready to do it this afternoon for somebody else. Oh, what a great day we did serving and helping the community give out bread yesterday. Great. What are you doing today? We have to keep repeating, repeating. Love, humble, serve, repeat. Let God work through us. And keep doing the amazing things we're already doing, church. This church is a serving church. I know it is. Just look at your individual heart. See where else? What else? What does he want us to do? What do we need to keep doing over and over again? I'm trying to think of a clever way to come up with, to close this sermon. And God said, I got this. I said, okay. So watch this video, and we'll let God close out this service.
Nice glasses.
Oh, thanks.
I have 20/20 vision. I don't really need glasses.
Oh. Well, I used to have perfect vision until I caught an eye disease while on the mission field. So, glasses. It's totally worth it.
Where did you do mission work?
I spent an entire week in Africa.
Well, I was in Africa for an entire year. It's amazing how much you get to know Jesus when you're there for that long.
Where were you in Africa? I rescue orphans from there all the time.
Really? I wonder if you rescue them from the orphanages that I build there.
I don't think so.
Oh, you wouldn't probably know that they're mine. I don't have my name on the building or anything. I prefer to remain anonymous.
Oh, well, I prefer to remain anonymous too, but when you do so much for Jesus like I do, you just can't help but be known. Listen, I have built so many hospitals and churches because I care about the body and the soul.
That's nice, but I don't need a church to save souls. I just preach from the side of the mountain, like Jesus.
Well, if you would come down off of that mountain, you would know what people really need, like I do.
Oh, please, like you know what people need. Me and Jesus, we're tight.
Look, you guys wouldn't even know Jesus if he came up to you with a sign that said, I'm Jesus.
Are you kidding? I've brought more people to Jesus than Jesus.
Well, he wouldn't even have a ministry if it wasn't for me. Jesus. What are you doing?
Do you love me? Do you really love me? Then follow me.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to get together in your house. And we want to take the message out to the world today. We want to serve you. I ask that you keep it on our hearts and you keep it on our minds this week as we go out to look for the little things, to keep the blinders away and have our eyes wide open to places where we can serve. As we leave this place and go out to our mission field, places to serve you and be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are so thankful for your love, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. We're so thankful for the example that your son set throughout his life here on earth and, of course, on the cross for us as he knelt down and washed each of our feet, gave us all a chance to have the hope, to have your love, to have your guidance in our lives. It's in his name we pray. Amen.